We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
You shake my lulav and you rattle my fruit. This kind of retro costs a lot of loot. Can't get my fill. Ooh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, my sukkah's on fire. Let's make some food and send out in.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. This is the Sukkah Show. Yesterday was Yom Kippur, and we're all feeling atoned here. Thank you very much here at the Jewish Hour, and hope you're well on the way to a good year. Now that we've done the high holidays, we're now going into Zman Simchasenu, the time of our rejoicing, and that's what we're going to talk about in the second half of the show. In this half hour of the show, we'll be interviewing Bruce Forman, who has written a work called Smokescreen, a Jewish approach to stop smoking based on Jewish law and philosophy. I always tell people, listen, you know, New Year's, you have to make New Year's resolutions. And our New Year's resolutions are not like January 1st resolutions that we say like, oh, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to lose 5 pounds, that kind of, join a gym, that kind of stuff. But after looking through a smokescreen, I think maybe might be something to do for the new year. We have a wonderful assortment of Jewish music. There is no portion of the week. We'll be talking about Sukkot. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Three Arab Israelis, including a 16-year-old, were arrested for planning a shooting on the Temple Mount. The three were members of Islamic State and planned to carry out a shooting attack on the Temple Mount like the one in July that killed two police officers. At a rally commemorating 50 years of Israel's control of the West Bank, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that there is room for Jews and Arabs in the West Bank and no one will be uprooted. The gunman who last week killed three Israeli border police in the Har Adar neighborhood in Jerusalem had a work permit in Jerusalem. The three were killed as they opened the gates to allow Palestinian workers into Jerusalem. The terrorist was killed by Israeli police. The International Police Organization, known as Interpol, accepted the Palestinian Authority as a member despite objections by Israel and the U.S. Former IDF Sergeant Alor Azaria won an appeal to have his jail sentence reduced. Azaria was convicted of manslaughter in January for the shooting death of a wounded Arab terrorist minutes after an attack in Hebron that left one soldier wounded. Azaria's prison term was shortened from 18 months to 14. And finally, a little bit of good news here. The Stockholm court that rerouted a Nazi parade on Yom Kippur Day to pass by a synagogue rerouted the path away from the synagogue before Jews celebrated that holiday. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We are online with Bruce Forman, who has written a book together with someone who we had on show couple months ago, Shoshana Brombacher, who's the illustrator, called Smokescreen, a Jewish approach to stop smoking, available with a textbook, I suppose you'd call it, or why, and then a workbook that comes with it as well. How are you today, Bruce?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing just fine.
Good to hear. Okay, so you heard me in my introduction. I said, I always like make this glib comment that when Jews make firm resolutions for the high holidays, it's not, oh, I'm going to give up smoking. But in looking at Smokescreen, a Jewish approach to stop smoking, maybe it ought to be. So tell us about the backstory about why is it that you wrote this book?
Well, you know, in addition to being a rabbi, I'm also a practicing psychologist, and a portion of my practice has to do with hypnotherapy, and I would see people coming in my office wanting to get some hypnosis for stopping smoking, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't, and I would ask myself, you know, what's going on? Why do some people find it easy to stop smoking? Why are some people having some difficulties? And trying to understand this from a Jewish spiritual perspective, I started to get some ideas that when people had elevation in their spirituality, they were much less likely to be smoking or doing any kind of self-destructive behavior. So I started thinking and researching and incorporating some things into my practice that I thought would be useful, and then, you know, decided that I needed to share these things. And I got together with my colleague, Shoshana Brombacher. She and I had been study partners when we were in training with Yitzhak Buxbaum's program to train Magidim. And then we continued our collaboration as study partners for a long time, and then we started writing together. So we worked on a few books together. We had one come out earlier this year that it was a book for young couples getting married. You know, we called it Under the Chuppah, a Jewish couple's guide to weddings and meaningful marriage. And then we have this book and the workbook that came out, and we have another one that's on cue to come out. It's a book about Hasidic stories, Rabbi Nachman stories with a psycho-spiritual interpretation, and we're working on some more. So we put together this book because both of us are concerned about the problems with smoking among Jews, more so among more religious Jews than the secular Jews, and so we put this book together to try to have a compendium, a handbook of ways of understanding from a Jewish spiritual and mystical perspective how to elevate oneself, and then we provide some strategies for doing that based on levels of soul, and then we have a handbook, a workbook to go with it as well.
Okay, so let me just back up a little bit then. So, when you talk about, like, say, rabbis and people who are like spiritual, so I was in my yeshiva days when before there was like you could still smoke inside. So the rabbis, the teachers in the classes, usually were smoking during classes. And as much as people were objecting at that point, it seems that the bottom line is that a person's not going to quit smoking unless they want to quit smoking. That seems to
be... Absolutely.
You know, so it's like you could stand on your head and try to talk to somebody about giving up what appears to be an addiction. I mean, Moshe Feinstein was asked to write a response outlawing or forbidding smoking after the Surgeon General's warnings have started appearing on cigarette packs. And he said, if I make smoking a sin, then only sinners will smoke. So it's you're dealing with a compulsive, addictive behavior, which means that people have to get really like, it's not just physical, it's all kinds of other parameters. You write that about that in the book over here. So how does one then begin, Bruce Forman?
The easy answer is that they begin with making a decision. Once you make the decision to stop smoking, then the rest of it can fall into place. There are people who simply make a decision, you know, and we refer to some stories and anecdotes in the book, emphasizing that there are people who simply make a decision to stop smoking and they can. And, you know, one story we relate, there was a rabbi who came to his doctor's office smoking a cigar one day. And he put it down in an ashtray before he went in to see the doctor, and a comment the doctor made was, you know, smoking is bad for your health. And he said, oh, I didn't know that. And then on the way out, he had left a cigar there, and the doctor said, oh wait, you forgot your cigar. He said, no, I don't smoke. And never smoked again from that day on. So, yeah, you're right. It begins with a decision to stop smoking. But then some people find it easy to just make that decision, particularly people who are at an elevated level of spirituality. And others need specific kinds of strategies. So in our book, we describe the different levels of soul and different strategies that people could use to improve their spirituality and at the same time as stopping smoking. So, for example, if we start off with a basic level of soul as at nefesh, the animal soul, the strategies we recommend for dealing with the animal soul, since it's such a low level, is behavioral and learning techniques. To change the sense of association, and then moving up to the level of ruach, which these two levels of soul really are associated with the yetzer hara, the evil inclination, and these two levels of soul have to do with self. It's all about me. So at the more permanent level, the level of nefesh, it's basic learning strategies. Moving up to the level of ruach, this is more about self-justification, that the bubble mices that people tell themselves, and the strategies for changing there focus on stop lying to yourself about what happened with smoking, and stop trying to justify that it's okay, or you know creating a fiction in your mind that, well, the research doesn't really prove anything, and these people are wrong. It's the lie that we tell ourselves is that somehow we manage to become smokers, and the reality is we made a bad decision when we started smoking, and so telling ourselves it's an addiction and I have no control over it. Is more bubblemysis, because we have these associations, we have these physiological urges. Judaism teaches us that that if we're coming out of this higher level of soul, we can manage those things by making choices, and then, you know, then moving up to the next level of soul to neshama. That aspect of soul that's associated with the intellect, then these are really more cognitive kinds of strategies in dealing with irrational beliefs and countering irrational and foolish beliefs that we might have about smoking, and thinking more rationally and more realistically about what we need to change.
Understood. Well, let's get more, a little more fundamental then. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Bruce Foreman, who has written a book together with famed artist Shoshana Brombacher called Smokescreen, A Jewish Approach to Stopping Smoking, together with a workbook. It is published by Wellbridge Books of Portland, Oregon. Yes, and it could be found in the self-help psychology section. What does Jewish law say about starting smoking, and what does Jewish law say about stopping smoking?
We've drawn from a variety of halachic explanations. The first law has to do with taking care of our bodies, and so if we do something that is damaging to our bodies, that's inconsistent with Jewish law. If we say we're smoking, we're destroying some of God's creations for no higher purpose. This is what we do when we burn tobacco. There's nothing that's beneficial, and besides, it's harmful to our body. So we're prohibited from destroying God's creations and smoking clearly speaks to that.
Okay, understood. So it's a violation of all the laws of having to do with, you have to shamar esnaf sheisechem, guard, keep yourself healthy for it then.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's always some divine providence in when I prepare for this. I was actually coming over and I was flipping through the radio stations as I was coming over, and I heard a really very extensive ad about, it's the first time I heard it, and wondering, wow, I just heard this right now before I'm doing the show, about this hypnotherapist who says for $49.95 you'll no longer smoke, and you won't put on weight, and you'll be a whole new person, and you'll be a great person from now on, and who knows, you can grow up to be the president of the United States. So people don't want to work, and obviously if I can just sit in a chair and have somebody sort of like take over and do things for me. So you mentioned a little bit before about hypnotherapy. Could you explain the process of that? And if that's something, well, there's no chapter here on how to hypnotize yourself in this book. So
we cover that we have that in the workbook.
In the workbook, okay. Here, sit down and hypnotize yourself.
Wait a second here.
Take your time. This is only radio.
Okay, here we are. I'm back.
Okay.
We cover that in the workbook. Now, interestingly, so there are people who offer these stop smoking with hypnosis programs. You know, pay $50 and come to this giant lecture hall, and somebody stands up at the podium and does this group hypnosis. And so the question is, gee, does that really work? And the answer is, yeah, for some people it does. For some people, that's all they need. But for people who don't respond to that, they need something more individualized. Usually when people contact me about stopping smoking with hypnosis, I ask them what they've done. Did they go to one of those $49 programs? Did they buy an audio tape or a CD and listen to it? And I usually tell them, do that first, because it might work for you. But if it doesn't, then we need to take a look more closely at what your personal reasons are for smoking, or your personal reasons for why you have trouble stopping smoking. And then when they go for hypnosis with somebody like me, then they can have it customized. So what hypnosis does is it really bypasses the critical faculty of the left brain, and allows people to get into this altered state. And just the, you know, as a sideline, meditation and getting into altered states is a strong part of our tradition, going back to the Hasidic teachings. People like Rabbi Nachman would teach that people should meditate. They should spend an hour to themselves. And some of the traditions going back to the meditative states of people advocated by people like Abraham Abulafia in the 1200s and even earlier than that. People would go into these kind of states, and they would spontaneously go into an altered trance state. So using hypnosis is a big part of our tradition in Judaism. So when we go into hypnosis and we get into this altered state, we become much more susceptible to suggestions, and the kind of suggestions that we would use in a stopping smoking paradigm is going to be aimed at what people's beliefs are, what their expectations are, and get these suggestions to be consistent with where they are behaviorally and emotionally and spiritually, and try to have suggestions that will help people to evolve and integrate some spiritual practices into their lives that are much easier to get communicated when they're in a relaxed and altered state, because they're not filtering and having that little voice that's always critical and always analytic. Often we see in people who are very bright that they overthink things and they're overly analytic, and they get in their own way. So using hypnosis is a way of quieting that down and allowing the rest of the mind to absorb the suggestions.
Okay, that's actually quite fascinating, and it's probably years and years and years of work on your part to be able to put that into the lab, that little 3-minute answer.
But it's it's just the overview of it.
Okay, so now I'm looking at the book, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Bruce Forman, who's written a book called Smokescreen, A Jewish Approach to Stop Smoking. I'm seeing a lot of the suggestions that you bring up, and behavior change modification, if you would call it that, where things like, I remember hearing 30, 40 years ago that if you have a cup of coffee in the morning, don't have the cup of coffee, have a cup of tea, that type of a thing. So what is so unique about, say, a Jewish approach to stopping smoking? And then the next question would be, do you have to be Jewish to benefit from Smokescreen, A Jewish Approach to Stop Smoking?
You raise an interesting question. No, one doesn't have to be Jewish to benefit from our strategies. The uniquely Jewish part of our explanation is the understanding not just of the Jewish laws that are relevant and minhag that govern what we do, but it's more focused on our understanding of levels of spiritual growth from a Jewish perspective, understanding the Jewish mystical perspective of levels of soul, going from nefesh through ruach up to neshama and chaya and ultimately yechida.
Got some background.
That allows us to benefit. They're doing pressure washing on the outside of my building. Uh-huh. Not to escape from it. And then understanding that the most important element of our functioning is at this higher level, the level of Chaya, which is a level of soul functioning that undergirds pro-social behavior and understanding that we do things that benefit humanity, doing things for the social good. And so so there's a great deal of our book that's emphasized that Jewish spiritual practices, but they're also relevant to non-Jews. The understanding is that if you're at a higher level of spirituality, you're probably not smoking. And if you're functioning at a level that emphasizes the selfish, the self-centered, the egotistical aspects of life, where you're focused on pleasures and saying the hell with other people, that's where smoking comes from. That's really the yetzer hara, the evil inclination. You know, all of us have these parts of us. All of us have a yetzer hara and a yetzer hartov. But we don't want to be overly influenced by the yetzer hara. So the yetzer hara is really the part of us that is driving smoking. And when we become more elevated spiritually, we become more dominated by our by the good inclination, by the divine aspect of self. And when we do that, we're not only not smoking, but you know, we become better human beings. You know, we've tweaked our character flaws, and we become more concerned about the social good and more concerned about benefiting God's most precious creations, human beings.
Okay. Now, so I know with other compulsive addictive behaviors such as alcoholism, drug addiction, gambling, etc., so people go to support group meetings, like some of them forever. AA has the 25-year coin, which means that a person hasn't had a drink in 25 years.
Right.
Yet they're still going to these support groups. So is it really possible that a person could become a non-smoker? Or are they always just a smoker who just is exerting self-control and not smoking?
That's a difficult question to answer, basically because it's theory bound, and it's theory bound. If you buy into the theory that addictions operate in a certain way, and that the treatments operate in a certain way that are consistent with that, you know, you're buying into this this model, and I'm not sure I do when it comes to smoking and other kinds of things that are sort of addictions. So we say with alcohol, with drugs, yeah, there's a certain kind of addictive aspects. But, you know, we have other kinds of addictions, and we try to force them into this model. So I don't know that I can answer and say, well, just because, you know, once you're a smoker, you're always a smoker, and if you're in recovery, you know, you're only one cigarette away from being an addict again. I'm not sure I agree with that.
Okay, so it could go either way. Now, so one thing that really perplexes me is, okay, when I was in junior high, I mean, there's a really cute joke as to why is it that you don't say a blessing? Everything in Judaism has a blessing. Why
right.
is it that you don't say a blessing on your first cigarette? And the answer is because you can't say a blessing in the bathroom. You know, so this was
right. That's so, and it's right. So what the explanation? You should say Shekinah on your first cigarette.
That's correct. Yes. So
I had never heard that, but
okay, you feel free to use it. So when I was a kid, you know, I was in junior high in 1972-73, and the warning only said may be injurious to your health on the outside of the package. And so there were those, you know, it was this idea that maybe if you smoke, you're like cool and grown up and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I did experiment with it and thought, you know, sticking your mouth on the back end of a burning weed is really very stupid. I was like, what do you get out of it? It's like, this is dumb. And I never was a smoker. So, but there, I would think with anybody who's like born after, say, like 1980, it's like, what was the attraction and why are people still smoking?
I think it's because those same ideals that we had in junior high, today they call them middle school. So you know we date ourselves and we call it junior high. But I was in junior high in the 60s. So the idea that one is cool and suave and mature if one smokes, that was prevalent then, is still around today. When I see teenagers smoking, it's the same thing. They want to look cool, they want to be accepted, and they want to look mature. You know, to me, it's narishkeit. It's just foolishness that they do that. But those ideals still hold true. Now, I had seen a study the other day. It was a meta-analysis. A meta-analysis is a statistical way of analyzing previous studies. So they had a number of previous studies. And then they reanalyzed the data. It's called a meta-analysis, and this was a meta-analysis of the risks for teenagers becoming smokers of who had smoked e-cigarettes, and they basically concluded that if you're a teenager and you smoke an electronic cigarette that, you know, people think isn't really so bad, you have three times the risk of becoming a cigarette smoker than for teenagers who never smoked e-cigarettes. And I thought that was fascinating because there's still this this idea that if you're smoking, somehow you're cool and debonair and mature. And it's you know, still a problem for adolescents. And the concern, of course, with adolescents is that if one starts smoking as a teenager, they're much more likely to continue smoking and become you know, lifelong smokers. And this is delightful if you're in the tobacco business, because if you you focus your energies on getting teenagers to smoke, you got a customer for life.
Indeed. Indeed. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. We want to, I guess, our guest today has been Bruce Forman, who has written a book called Smokescreen, A Jewish Approach to Stop Smoking, and it comes with a companion workbook. We want to thank you so much for coming out and showing how, yes, a New Year's resolution in Judaism could also be to cessate smoking, and wish you a happy and a healthy year.
Well, thank you, and same to you and to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. 9800. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. You know, if you do stop smoking, you can breathe. You know, that's one of the things. You can actually taste your food because your taste buds haven't been, like, covered over in, like, all that tar. And you'll notice another thing is, you know, they have this expression, how, like, 60 is the new 40. A lot of that is because what smoking does to a person's face. Just the act, you can see on people who are 50 years old that are smokers, they have, like, the creases from just holding their mouth in that position. And then the smoke actually does terrible things to a person's skin. So there's all kinds of horrible things about smoking. And if you are a smoker, I can strongly suggest that you put the effort in and give it up. You know, so, yeah, even if you're just like an occasional smoker, no, don't even go there. Up next, we are in Zman Simchasenu, the time of our rejoicing. One of the things that was done, even in temple times during the holiday of Sukkot, was they had these massive dances. And they would have this tremendous musical accompaniment, and people would stay up a whole night dancing. It was called Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So Barry Weber, we've had him on a zillion times, has this thing called shtendik, which means like stand up, because the way that they used to dance, they would dance all night. And so how did they keep up with themselves? How do you know? It says that the dancing was so intense that the person would just kind of like put his head down on the shoulder next to him and take a nap when they're in the middle of the dancing. And they would stay up all night and dance. And so let's listen right in. This one's just for you.
קיץ חם אני קם ומוצא לי סיבה שאוכל להגיע באוויר יש ניגון שמזכיר לי חיוך ומבט שנוגע ואף פחד יצור אותי סתם כך גם לי מגיע להיות מאושר אני צריך עכשיו לבוא ולקחת את מה שנשאר
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's MI for Michigan, KO for kosher, and SUP for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. A little bit of continuing with the holiday joyous preparation. This is called Sing a Liddle, which is Yiddish for sing a song. And this is the famed cantor Misha Alexandrovich.
Wecken soll es Freude und nicht kein Chiedisch, dass alle groß und klein sollen können es verstehen. Von Mäul zu Mäul das Liedele soll gehen, a Liedele und siechzen und antreren. Spieler soll ja alle sollen hören, dass alle sollen sehen, ich leb und singen können. Schöner noch und besser wie gewählt. Spiel, Spiel, Klezmer, Spiel, weißt doch, was ich meine und was ich will. Spiel, Spiel, Spiel an Liedele von mir, Spiel an Nigen, du mit Herz und mit Wir singen's Liedele zusammen, wie gute Freund, wie Kinder von ein Mame. Mein einziger Verlang soll klingen frei und frank, in allem es Gesang durch mein Gesang. Liedl wegen Scholle, soll schön sein, als Scholle nicht kein Holle, als Völker groß und klein, soll kommen sie verstehen und Kriegen und Milchome sich begehen. Spiel, Spiel, Klösler und Spiel, weißt doch, was ich meine und was ich will. Spiel, vor mir spielen irgendwo mit Herz und mit Gefühl.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This is the part of the show where I try to find something a little bit upbeat, out of the ordinary, kind of unusual. So we have for your listening pleasures, this is Sukkah coming up after all. So we have, this is Rogers Park. This song is called The Sukkah is Falling.
I've just seen a face with all its beard is in its place. A kind rabbi comes right up to me, says, a synagogue is where a Jew should be. Hoi vei vei la di da. J
chicken soup each Friday night. The matzo balls, oh what a sight. But now it's time we head outside. Look, it's time we eat it in a hut. Oy vey vey la di da. Falling, the sugar's falling, but the rabbi's calling me back again. Falling, the circle's falling, but the rabbi's calling me back again. Falling, these walls keep falling, but I'll keep standing them up again. Falling, these walls keep falling, but I'll keep standing them up again. Scotch bamboo right in my soup, what I'm waiting for, my chocolate stew. It's cold out here, I'll persevere. My indoor meals are never quite like this. Falling, the circle's falling, but the rabbi's calling me back again. Falling, the circle's falling, but the rabbi's calling me back again.
Yeehaw!
I've learned a few old things, no matter what the weather brings. The sukkah's just the place for me. There's nowhere else I'd rather be tonight. Oye, baby, la-di-da. Falling, the sukkah's falling, but the rabbi's calling me back again. Falling, the sukkah's falling, but the rabbi's calling me back again.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herr Schultzman, who you are? Shower. It's Sukkot coming up. That's Wednesday night. And just to fill you in what has to be done just very, very quickly, because we are running out of time. The things that have to get done. Well, Wednesday night, it's really a good idea to eat in this Sukkah. A Sukkah is defined as a structure having a roof. Because the structure itself, it doesn't matter what you make it out of. There's even talk about in the Talmud of people digging trenches in garbage dumps and using that for a sukkah. So it really doesn't matter what the walls are made out of. The roof has to be from some sort of cut vegetation, like a branch, not a fruit. It has to be like branch of sort. So speaking of which, if you are in need of schach, well, then contact me on rabbifinman.com. We still have some left for sale from Jewish Ferndale. We're selling it in Oak Park. And give us a shout us out, and I'll be watching my my emails. So you can do that. Go to rabbifinman.com. So it's coming to eat in the sukkah for 7 days until the following Wednesday, as the case may be. Some people eat on the following Thursday as well. And then on Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to shake the four species, which involve a citron, a palm branch, myrtle branches, and willow branches. And the significance is that we have now gone through the high holidays. And we've talked in the stories that we presented before. There's always these accusers, the Satan, who is trying to get us to have a bad year and to have terrible things happen, et cetera, yada, yada. There's always the question is when you have two countries that go to war, how do you know which one is the victorious one? Who's the victor? There's casualties on both sides. There's damage on both sides. There's catastrophe on both sides. The answer, the side that makes the parade, that's the one that won. They're the victors. So here it is. We've gone through the high holidays, and we don't know. Did we win? Did the Satan win? So, but then right afterwards, we have Sukkot, and we're doing the celebrating. Must mean we won. So, and that's indeed the idea behind Sukkot. It's definitely what we call Jewish party time. So we'll talk about more with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? RabbiFinman.com. Do you have, somebody said they really, 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 really appreciated the fact that I played a song last week. So if you've got a song you'd like to hear, we can always delve into the bowels of the archives of the Jewish Hour and come up. We love a challenge. Send your requests off to RabbiFinman.com. And we'll be glad to play them for you. That's absolutely, it's a joy for me when someone says, I want to hear this specific song. I haven't heard this song in so many years. And then I play it. And then I actually got feedback this last week. Somebody who didn't request it said, I really liked that you played that one, Rabbi. So if you want to hear it, somebody else probably wants to hear it too. And this is the only place where you're going to hear those songs. You'll also find archived editions of the show, archived editions of other ways in which we present Judaism to you, and you'll also find the donations page. This is the last. No, we're in October already. Oh, guess what? We're still working on July, folks. So we make this promise. Listen, if I can get July, August, September, and October paid for, then July's not that far away. But if we can get them paid for, then I don't sit here and make a pledge. I tell you a longer story. So go to RabbiFinman.com. Whatever it is that you happen to do, if it's $5 a month is great. If it's $100 right now, that's also good. Whatever your incentive for giving is also a good thing. Do it before the holiday. Do it because it makes you feel good. If you're listening and we've already gone 52 minutes into the show, and this is probably not the first time that you're listening, and if it is, well, welcome to the Jewish Hour. The old expression is you got to pay to play, and I have to pay in order to play. So this is radio in a major market such as Detroit is not cheap, not at all. And it's a major part of my yearly budget is getting it together, and I could not do it. For 21 years we've been doing this. I've been sitting here, you know, suggesting to people that they make the Jewish Hour a source of their donating. It supports all kinds of wonderful things besides the program as well. So do that. Go to RabbiFinman.com, donations page. Don't like doing internet giving? Understood. Drop your contribution of any amount in an envelope and address it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest, Ferndale, Michigan, 48237. Again, at 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. The story involves a certain Rebbe by the name of Matala Rachmetrinske. Don't ask me to say that one again. So Rebbe Matala was the grandson of the famed Rebbe Matala of Chernobyl, who was the last of the Chernobyl dynasty Rebbes. he decided he was going to move to Israel. He moved to Jerusalem in 1905, probably right around the time of the Japanese Russo War. He brought with him the panels of the sukkah, this booth that we sit in during this week, which he inherited from his grandfather, Reb Muttel. But these were hardwood panels. You know, maybe you're talking something that was taken down from the Black Forest, maybe a mahogany or something like that. These were very heavy, and they had been decorated in a very ornate way. It was a whole Kabbalistic thing. There were seven panels corresponding to the seven divine attributes depicting the 7 days of creation. This was a sukkah, and people, when he came, people, the word got around Jerusalem that he had this sukkah. And it was a very great source of pride for him. He was offered 2 years later. There was a Judaica merchant who was traveling from England who had heard about this sukkah and said, I'll give you a fortune for it. He said he wouldn't give it. I'm not selling it for money. In 1912, the people came to look at Reb Muttel's sukkah, and they found him sitting in a regular sukkah. And they asked him, what happened to your sukkah? We know you wouldn't sell it. So he said, a poor man, a destitute man, came to him. It was actually 1915. It was the middle of World War I. Came to him and said, his son is deathly ill, and the doctor has ordered him to have hot baths. But there's no wood. This is Israel. This is a time of war. There's no wood to heat water to make a hot bath. So he thought for a second, and he stood up, and he said, come with me. And they went to the back of the house, and he said, take the wood and chop it into pieces. He said, Rabbi, it's your sukkah. He said, your child's life is more important than my sukkah. I can sit in a simple sukkah. That's going to do it. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a wonderful Yontif, which starts Wednesday night. Again, it's Zman Simchas, the time of our rejoicing. And we'll see you back again next week, next Sunday, same time. Take care. The Yalteh Ve'en La Yetzer.